Hello, I'm Sam Roggeveen. I'm here with Jenny Hayward-Jones, the outgoing director of the Lowy Institute's Melanesia program. We're going to talk about that outgoing part in a minute, Jenny, but first I want to ask you about a new paper that you've released today, The Future of Papua New Guinea, Old Challenges for New Leaders. Tell us a little bit about this paper and the major conclusions.
Well, the reason I decided to write it is that we've been hosting an Australia-Papua New Guinea Emerging Leaders Dialogue for the last 3 years, and I've been truly inspired by the talents of, in particular, the young Papua New Guineans that I've met, and increasingly worried over the years about the challenges that they will face when they take up senior leadership positions in government and the private sector in a decade or so time. So the reason I wanted to write it is to look at what those challenges might be and see how they might work their way through those. So in the paper I've analysed 7 trends that will shape the future of Papua New Guinea. Amongst these are weak governance, poor law and order, health and education, continuing reliance on the resources industry, looked at agriculture and the growing population, of course, of Papua New Guinea. And tried to identify where things are getting better or getting worse and what could be done to turn the situation around.
So my guess is that there's a tension here between optimism and pessimism. You're, as you said, you're inspired by this new generation of leaders, but some of the big social indicators are actually going in the wrong direction, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. And it's really difficult with PNG, a country that I love so much and really want to be optimistic about. And I think there are a lot of reasons to believe PNG does have a great future. They have a young population, vast resources endowment, very strong cultural obligations which provide a social safety net. They have abundant food sources, acknowledging that there is a drought at the moment, but they do have food sources that can feed the population. So there's a lot to be hopeful about, but unfortunately social indicators are going in the wrong direction. There is insufficient reform and investment in the capacity of the public service to deliver key essential services. So turning that around is going to be just a huge challenge for the current and future leaders of Papua New Guinea.
And I think you make some recommendations in the paper about what Australia can do to support this emerging generation of leaders.
Yeah, so my key argument is really that you can't address every problem in Papua New Guinea at once, and that future leaders should look at just addressing a few key problems at first as a way to break some bottlenecks. But in terms of Australia, I think Australia will have enduring interests in Papua New Guinea for many years to come. We have a very large aid program there, very significant private sector investment. But there is more that Australia can do in a cleverer way, I think, to listen to emerging leaders, perhaps help them to implement some of their plans and priorities earlier, you know, rather than waiting for 20 years for them to get into the position of Prime Minister. Help them now. A lot of the emerging leaders that we work with here at the Lowy Institute are doing incredible things in community development that Australia could assist with in many respects, with civil society partnerships, through the aid program and through private sector investment.
Now, Jenny, I did say at the beginning that you're leaving us after 8 years at the Lowy Institute, and if you'll allow me just for a moment, it's worth saying that I admire the work you've done enormously here at the Lowy Institute, and I think not only is the Institute going to miss you and miss the work you've done on Melanesia, but I think, you know, you've done a great service for the nation, actually, in bringing this region further to the forefront of our minds. Can you maybe survey the last 8 years of your time here at the Institute and tell us what are the big trends that you've seen and what are the most important things that have happened in the region in the last 8 years that we should be aware of?
Just a small question. I think the region, the Pacific Islands region and Melanesia in particular, has really come of age in the last decade. We've seen Papua New Guinea rise to take up a regional leadership position, host the Pacific Games and the Pacific Islands Forum Leader Summit last year, and its Prime Minister, Peter O'Neill, really assert PNG's interests and ambitions, both regionally and globally. We've seen Fiji, which for many years suffered in the aftermath of the 2006 coup, also try and reassert its leadership. It's taken a very strong leadership position internationally on climate change. We've seen that at the UN and in other fora, and I think that has helped enormously to put the Pacific on the world map. We've seen the Pacific sort of grow globally in terms of the interest that it gets from China, of late from Russia, with an arms delivery to Fiji. We've seen lots of relationships develop with the growing countries of East Asia. The EU, of course, has an enduring interest. We've seen the US restate its interest in strategic primacy in the region. So the Pacific, once remote and isolated, sort of forgotten by the world, has really come to the fore, I think, in the last decade, helped by the growth of China and a global focus on East Asia and China as the centre of global economic gravity. So I think that new closeness to those growing economies has helped the Pacific enormously.
So a growing global profile, but what about Australia, though, specifically? Does the region take up enough of the policy bandwidth here in Australia?
Sam, this is something that has bothered me over my time here, and I've written a lot about the importance of Australia paying more attention to the region. I have to credit the current Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop, for having the right attitude about the Pacific. She certainly believes it's critical to Australia's foreign policy interests, and she has a big interest in the region, and she's done a lot of great things. But I think overall, as a nation, we really are not paying enough attention. We do, of course, pay a lot of attention to China, and rightly so, when we think about foreign policy and economic policy and trade policy. But we often forget about our nearest neighbours, and I suspect not many Australians even know that Papua New Guinea, rather than Indonesia or New Zealand, is our nearest neighbour. In fact, Sean Dorney's recent Lowy Institute paper, The Embarrassed Colonialist, exposed a lot of those flaws in the Australian thinking about PNG, that we really have a long way to go to think about what are our core interests. Happily, the Defence White Paper, released just a few weeks ago, acknowledged the importance of Papua New Guinea to Australia's security. So I think there is certainly an acknowledgement in the government. I think we have a bit of a way to go in public consciousness. But one thing I've been happy to see in the time that I've been here is growing coverage in the media of the Pacific region. Of course, not nearly enough for us foreign policy wonks, but certainly there are younger journalists taking up the mantle of the experts, such as Rowan Carlick and Sean Dorney. We're seeing some younger journalists like Lisa Martin at AAP cover the region a lot more closely. We've seen some disasters in recent years in Fiji just a month ago, and Vanuatu a year ago, spur some interest. But also China's interest in the region, I think, has inspired a lot more coverage. So that's a happy result that I'm happy to report.
Now, just lastly, I think on that subject, you're talking about traditional media and professional journalists. But the other big trend, I think, that we can talk about over the last 8 years is the growth in social media, which both gives us outsiders a new prism through which to view the region, but has also been an important social and political dynamic within the region itself.
Absolutely, and this is, I think, the biggest change we've seen in the region in a long time in communications and awareness, political awareness. It's been Facebook and Twitter and other social media platforms have been a great tool for us here at the Lowy Institute just to get a handle on what's going on. You may know the traditional press in the Pacific is quite small, and often news from the region is delayed when it gets to Australia. So having access to Facebook, where citizen journalists report news regularly, then you can see the political debate happen before you. I think it's a huge change, and one that I think politicians in the region are still grappling with. Some of them are seeking to control it, put some limits and bans on what is allowed to be discussed in social media, but it's definitely a change that's sweeping the region, and we're seeing so much more awareness and connections being formed between countries in the region, and lessons being learned sort of across particularly the younger generation, but also some savvy older experts are engaging as well. So I have great hopes for the future of the region in that respect.
Great. Jenny, thank you very much, and the very best of luck for your future.
Thanks very much, Sam.